What happened to the people who perpetrated all of that evil against Bilal? Every one of them met their fate in this dunya. And we saw this reality in the seerah, in the battle of Badr, in the battle of Khandaq, in the conquest of Mecca. We clearly saw what happened to those who did this persecution. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد. Dear Muslims, to Allah we complain of all that is transpiring in the world today. To Allah, we complain of our weakness. To Allah, we complain of our humiliation. To Allah, we complain of even having to beg others for recognition, of having the opportunity to humanize our grief. To Allah, we complain that we don't even have a nominal space on a national platform where every single race and religion is represented except for our religion and except for our race and except for our people. We have to beg even for attention. To Allah, we complain of all the images that we are seeing of the mothers who have been widowed, of the orphans crying and searching for their parents amongst the rubble, of fathers holding up their charred and disfigured babies as they have been completely obliterated to beyond recognition. To Allah, we complain of our own desensitization. Who could have ever imagined a time when we are sitting in the comfort of our rooms, scrolling through entertainment, scrolling through news items, and an image comes up that is so horrific, that is so crude, that is so vulgar, that wallahi, if a Hollywood movie were to fake that image, that movie would come with a disclaimer that children should not watch that movie. But this is not fake images we are seeing. We are seeing real bodies of children. We are seeing dismembered toddlers that have been blown to shreds. And to Allah we complain of the desensitization even amongst us, that we scroll through that feed and we look at that image and we say astaghfirullah and we move on to another tidbit. May Allah forgive us. We might laugh, we might cry, we might move on, and life goes on. To Allah we complain of the hardness of our hearts. To Allah we complain of the true pathetic nature of the situation we are in. Brothers and sisters, every single time we think the situation cannot get any worse, subhanallah, the bar continues to go lower and lower. And every single time we have to remind ourselves, what exactly are we doing? How do we find comfort in this crazy world? How do we make sense of all of this irrationality that is taking place? And one of the primary advice that I give myself and all of you, rediscover the beauty of the Quran and the verses dealing with suffering and pain. Rediscover the beauty of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rediscover the beauty of the stories of our own companions and tabi'un that came before us. Subhanallah, we grew up reading these verses. We grew up reading the seerah. We grew up being taught the stories of the sahaba and we absorbed them. But when we look at them again and we understand them in light of what is going on, wallahi, it is as if we have never read the Quran. It is as if we have never understood the seerah. It is as if we have never benefited from the stories of the sahaba. They take on new meaning. They give us new life. They give us a comfort that we never knew we could get. And subhanallah, here we are. Here I am struggling. How do you cope with this grief? How do you come to terms with this reality that we're seeing? And what comes to my mind is, who am I compared to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And yet, he also saw such difficult images. He saw them with his own eyes. He's walking in Mecca. How much did he see? And we know how compassionate he was. We know how soft his heart was. We know he would stay awake the whole night in tahajjud, crying to Allah to protect his ummah, making dua to Allah for the shafa'ah's ummah. He loved us so much. He told us every prophet has been given one special dua, and every prophet has made that dua. But as for me, I have kept my one dua that Allah promised me, and I have not used it in this world. I will use it for my ummah, that Allah shall forgive my ummah on the day of judgment. He loved us so much, he would cry the entire night, making dua to Allah, that Allah bless his ummah, forgive his ummah, protect his ummah. How do you think he felt when he walked by Bilal ibn Abi Rabah being dragged in the stones of Mecca? Ahadun ahad, ahadun ahad. How do you think he felt when he saw Yasir and Sumayya being tortured? Our books of Sira mention that in early Islam, Abu Jahl and others, they banded together. They couldn't persecute Abu Bakr, he was too noble. They couldn't touch Uthman ibn Affan, he came from a rich tribe. So what did they do? They took out their anger on those that had no protection. They found the slaves, they found the low caste in their system, and they tied them up. They put them right in front of the Kaaba. Yasir and Sumayya, husband and wife, were tied up in chains. They were put in the sun without food and water. Our Prophet ﷺ would pass by them. They would be whipped. They would be tortured. Can you imagine how he felt seeing the blood? And this was an elderly woman. Sumayya was 65 years old. Can you imagine? She is an elderly woman tied up to a post and a chain. She's being whipped and tortured. Yasir would be beaten. He would lose consciousness. And our Prophet ﷺ would see this for days on end. And he could not do anything in that context other than give them sabr, give them glad tidings. Sabran ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah. Be patient, O family of Yasir. All I can do is guarantee you will have Jannah. That's all he could do. And a time came, as you all know, when the torture reached such a severe level that they decided to execute. They made a public display of executing Yasir and Sumayya. They called together the people of Mecca and they made a debacle. They made a circus. They made a spectacle out of torturing people to death, laughing and shouting as if it's some type of pleasure occasion. And they took a spear. Abu Jahl, may Allah give him what he deserves. Abu Jahl took that javelin and astaghfirullah, la hawla la quwwata illa billah, he shoved it between her legs until he killed her. And Yasir is watching his wife die like this, and they began torturing him. They began using the whip and the stick on him. Even it is said they tied him to different horses until finally he as well dies. And the son Ammar is sitting there. He sees his father. He sees his mother. Now the whole crowd turns on him. He was just a child. What do you think he would do? He wasn't able to bear that pain, and he gave up. He goes, I believe in your gods. I believe in your gods. And then he comes rushing, crying to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah. He's just seen his mother and father decapitated. He's seen his mother and father tortured to death. Can you imagine his heart? And he's also worried. Ya Rasulullah, I uttered words of kufr. I said I believe in their gods. Ya Rasulullah, what's going to happen to me now? And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoled him. Wasn't iman strong in your hearts? Yes, Ya Rasulullah, they forced me. So he said, don't worry. If they return to torturing you, you can return to saying what you have said. And Allah revealed in the Quran, whoever is forced is forgiven. Illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. The point is, it's not the first time torture has happened. It's not the first time brutality has been demonstrated. And this is the reality of all those who choose the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be persecuted, they will be tortured. There were other sahaba as well. Khabbab ibn al-Arat, another slave that his master would tie him up, and his master would burn him with burning coals. And later on in life, he would lift his shirt up and he would show the sahaba what happened to him. And Umar ibn al-Khattab once saw, and he goes, wallahi, we did not realize this was happening, because at the time Umar was not a Muslim when Khabbab was being persecuted. And he was shocked to see his whole body. There was not a hand span, there was not even two fingers on his body, except that the scars could be seen. Suhaib and others, the amount of torture given to them is beyond what we can comprehend. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day these same people came to him and they said, Ya Rasulullah, for how long? Ya Rasulullah, for how long can we be patient? Ya Rasulullah, make dua to Allah to get rid of all of this pain and suffering. Make dua to Allah that this goes away. And it is as if they expected the Prophet to snap his fingers. It is not in the hands of the Prophet. He can only make dua. He can only ask. But it is Allah who decides when victory comes. And so he gave them comfort. He gave them encouragement. He said, a day will come. A day will come when this matter will be completely dominant. A day will come when you shall have peace and security, and a woman shall travel from the furthest regions of this land, from Hadramaut to Sana'a, two far away regions. A woman will travel in the middle of the desert, and the country will be so safe and secure, no one will harm her, except maybe the wolves will attack her sheep. He gave them good news and encouragement when they could not see any encouragement, when they could not see any hope. And this is what we need to learn. This is what we need to extract from the seerah. There must always be hope, even in hopeless situations. We must obtain courage, even when the situation appears there can be no courage. Look at the reality of all of the previous prophets. Look at the reality of the sahaba. Look even at our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the tortures that he undergo in his own lifetimes. No doubt it was just as painful for them, even more so than it is painful for us. And so we remind ourselves, O Muslims, we remind ourselves that from these trials, from these tragedies, always benefit comes. Always good comes. And look at what happened. Those sahaba who went through those trials and tragedies, those that went through them and saw them firsthand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them to be the best of all people. Allah gives victory to those who are patient. Have we forgotten what the Quran tells us? Am hasibatum an tadkhulul jannah? Did you think you would enter Jannah for free? When the people before you were tested and the prophets were tested, wazulzilu, they were shaken to the core, hatta yaqula ar-rasul walladhina amanu ma'a mata nasrullah, until even the prophets and the people who believe would say, where is the help of Allah? Where is the help of Allah? It's not the first time we're being tested. It's not the first time people are wondering, where is the help of Allah? And what does Allah say? Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Know that Allah's help is qareeb. Know that Allah's help is ever close. Have we forgotten what the Quran tells us? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We are going to test you. Allah has told us. The Quran is clear. You're going to be tested. With what? With a loss of property and a loss of life. Your lives will be taken away. Your properties, your homes are going to be demolished. Then what does Allah say? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings. Congratulate those that have sabr. Allah tells us, in the midst of all of this chaos, in the midst of all of this pain and suffering, I shall choose a few and I will raise their ranks and give them glad tidings. Exactly what our Prophet ﷺ said. Be patient, O family of Yasir. Your place is up there in Jannah. Give them empathy. Give them words of comfort. These words are not meaningless. These words demonstrate we have faith in Allah. These words demonstrate pain is not eternal. Suffering shall come to an end, and what will come after that will always be everlasting bliss for those who die shaheeds. And for those who live, Allah will choose them in this dunya and the akhirah, and Allah will raise their ranks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those that were persecuted before. Allah says, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّ مُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. We wanted to favor and bless those who were persecuted. Notice, we wanted to bless those who were persecuted. We wanted to give them domination in the earth. Allah says, we wanted to give dominion and power to those who were persecuted. This is straight from the Quran. Allah chooses those that are persecuted in this world. If they die, they shall have their pleasure with Allah. And if they live, they shall have their pleasure in this dunya and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's always a win-win for the believers. We must find comfort in the Quran and in the seerah and in the lives of the sahaba and tabi'un. Realize it is at times like this that our faith is tested constantly. We see these images, we hear of this news, and our iman is tested. But we are not being tested like they are being tested. Our test is different than theirs. At the very least, O Muslims, at the very least, our iman, our taqwa, our spirituality, it must be affected by what is going on. At the very least, we need to transform ourselves in light of what is going on. The test of the people in Palestine and Gaza, the test of the people around the world is at a different level than ours. We ask Allah to bless them and make it easy for them. And we also ask Allah to not test us like they're being tested, because I don't know if I could pass that test. I don't know if I'm capable of being in that test. Our test is much less. Our test is a different type of test. And of the realities of those tests is, are we understanding what is going on? And are we reacting with empathy? Are we giving words of comfort to the people around us? We have to remind ourselves of the purpose of this dunya. These images, these realities, these massacres, this genocide, it must create an impact in our lives. Oh Muslims, to be blunt, you cannot be the same person today that you were last year. If you are, then something is wrong. You cannot be the same person today than you have been for the last 10 months. You have to see what is going on, and it needs to impact you at the spiritual level. You need to raise your own game, your own bar. You need to demonstrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you recognize your test is different, but it is a test nonetheless. A test of our iman, a test of our belief in Allah's qadr and wisdom, a test of our tawakkul, a test of our activism. What exactly are we doing? All of this should impact us, and I have said this multiple times, of the greatest wisdoms of these types of tragedies, of the greatest blessings, because it is a blessing in its own way, of the greatest blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these tragedies, uses this type of pain to extract from us, to make us better than we ever were. This is the reality of tests and trials. One of the goals of tragedy, one of the goals of suffering, is that we become better people as a result of that tragedy. And if we do become better people, then in reality that is not a tragedy. Anything that brings us closer to Allah, anything that strengthens our faith and resolve, anything that makes us better believers, it is not a punishment, it is a blessing in an indirect way. We're not asking for the pain of this dunya, but if the pain of this dunya brings about the eternal pleasure of Allah, then it is worth that pain and suffering. And this is a maxim and a rule that applies to everybody. Oh Muslims, what is happening in the world today, it needs to affect us at every single level, at the spiritual level, at the emotional level. It needs to affect us. We need to reassess our own humanities. Wallahi, I am worried about my own heart and your own hearts. How is it that we can see these images and then move on with our lives? I wonder. I believe that if these images that we are seeing of these children and these toddlers blown up, I believe if the average person of the last generation ever saw such an image, it would scar them for days and weeks. They would be in a trance for weeks, not able to speak. They have never seen anything like this. And yet here we are watching such images daily, every single hour, another image comes and we scroll by as if it is nothing. I worry about the state of my heart. Wallahi, I worry about what is doing to our own humanity. And we have to constantly remind ourselves that this is not normal. It should not be normal to see a father pick up his two-year-old son that you can't even recognize as a human being. The flesh and blood is completely mangled up. It is absolutely abnormal that this is taking place, and the world is turning a blind eye. The world has lost its senses. It's lost its humanity. We cannot afford to lose our humanity. We cannot afford to lose our iman and taqwa. We have to constantly bring ourselves back to our religion, find comfort and meaning in our faith, understand that even if tyrants are winning right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always call the tyrants to task. What happened to those that killed Yasir and Ammar and Sumayya? What happened to the people who perpetrated all of that evil against Bilal? Every one of them met their fate in this dunya. And we saw this reality in the seerah, in the battle of Badr, in the battle of Khandaq, in the conquest of Mecca. We clearly saw what happened to those who did this persecution, and what they will meet on the day of judgment is much worse than this dunya. We also find comfort in this as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow to have this tyranny go in waste. Allah will not allow the tyrants to go unanswered. And Allah will will reward every single child that is an orphan, every single mother that lost her children, every single father that was separated from their own family. Allah will give them ajr bighayri hisab. But what are we doing? What are we doing to stop this? What are we doing to make sure this does not happen again? And this is where once again we remind ourselves of the seerah, of the tactics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We cannot be silent, and we must do whatever we can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. You're going to be tested. لَتُبْلَوُنَّ. You're going to be tested in your souls, in your money, and in your lives. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. And you're going to hear a lot of nasty things from those who reject Allah. This is in the Quran. They're going to say vulgar things. They're going to justify the killing of babies. They're going to dehumanize you. They're going to eliminate you from the bastion of humanity. They're constantly going to call you terrorists and whatnot when you try to defend yourselves. Allah is saying, you're going to be tested. Your lives will be taken away. Your houses will be destroyed. You're going to hear a lot of bad things from people who don't believe in me. And then what does Allah say? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. And if you show sabr and you have the upper hand with your piety, if you respond to their ignobility with nobility, if you respond to their hatred with spirituality, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. If you show sabr and you demonstrate taqwa, that is the essence of what you need to be doing. So in this madness that we see around us, constantly remind yourselves, I need to demonstrate sabr and taqwa. I need to be the better person. I need to constantly be involved and engaged. And at the very least level, I need to be a better person I am today than I was when all of this began. I need to demonstrate to Allah that what is happening around, it is affecting me. It is making me comprehend and understand. I have a role to play. My life is not just about nafsi and my rizq and my sustenance and my car and my house. I have a higher purpose. I have to be connected to the ummah and to this religion. And if the people of Gaza, and if what is happening around the world, it inspires us to raise that bar, then perhaps in that raising of the bar will be our excuse and our salvation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran, and may He make us of those who His verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. Ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the One and the Unique. He it is whom we worship, and it is His aid that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed, and He hears the prayer of the weak. Of the lessons we learn from the seerah is that a Muslim must always be concerned about and attempt to help other Muslims. This is a reality that the Quran is very clear about. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. The believing men and women are protectors of one another. They're helpers of one another. And so, at some level, we must always attempt to help and protect everybody around the globe. But what that protection is and what that comfort is will vary from person to person. Because in the end of the day, we can only do so much. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah is not putting on us a burden with more than what we can bear. Aid is mandatory. But what that aid is will change from time to place, from situation to situation. Help is obligatory. Dua is obligatory. But the way that is manifested, how that help is done, what that help is, it will be different depending on who you are, depending on your strength, depending on your power, depending on your capabilities. And notice from the seerah, in the time of Mecca, what could the Prophet ﷺ do when these sahaba are literally being tortured to death? What could he do? You will say, but he moved to Medina. He had strength there. We say even in Medina, there were times and places where he could not militarily and politically help. And he was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had established the Islamic state. There is an Islamic Republic of Medina. But still, in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Quraysh put that really unjust condition, that dhulm condition, that if a Muslim converts from Mecca after this treaty, you cannot help them. that was in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Any Muslim who converts after signing this agreement, you have no political loyalty towards them. This was in the treaty. The Prophet ﷺ tried his best to negotiate, but the Quraysh refused. And so he had to accept because he wasn't able to have a different type of treaty or a better treaty. And indeed what happened, Abu Basir escaped from Mecca and he ran all the way to Medina. He was being tortured. There were scars on his body. He entered into Medina and the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Oh Abu Basir, you know our treaty. You're not supposed to be here." And Abu Basir said, "But Ya Rasulullah, you don't have to turn me back. That's not a part of the treaty." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Well, as long as they don't come, I'm not going to turn you." So he was living up to the letter of the law. The letter of the law was that you don't have to return him, but you're not inviting him. He was there on his own. Abu Basir said, "I'm just living amongst you. I'm not taking your aid." Indeed, the Quraysh sent two people. And the Quraysh said, "Ya Rasulullah, the treaty," well, they didn't say Rasulullah, they said, "Ya Muhammad, the treaty says you cannot have a person in Mecca come to Medina. We have him. We want him to come back." And the Prophet ﷺ turned to Abu Basir and he gave him a cryptic response. He said, it's a very eloquent expression. I'm going to translate it into simple English. He said that, "What a great person you are, if only you had help that could help you." Meaning, "I cannot help you right now. You have potential. What a great person you are. If only you had help that would help you." Abu Basir understood and he managed to escape from the captors and he ran away. He fled away and he did not turn back to Mecca, but neither could he live in Medina. And Abu Jandal as well, another companion who was being tortured, he too attempted to come and he was not allowed. So he grouped up with Abu Basir. Abu Basir, Abu Jandal, they formed a group neither in Mecca nor in Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ could not send military aid to this enclave, to this group. He could not militarily protect them because it went against the treaty. He made dua for them. He indirectly helped them. He gave them words of comfort, but he could not militarily help them. We learn this from the seerah. Different people have different rights and responsibilities, and people are tested with different rights and responsibilities. So for us here in this land, we must make dua for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. We must lobby for them. We must use our words like the Prophet ﷺ used. We must defend their rights to do what they are doing. And wallahi, we will defend their rights bluntly and boldly, according to every single law of the world, according to international law, according to common sense, according to what every society does. When your family is killed, when your house is bombed, when an enemy invades, of course you're going to stand up and attack back. It is their right to do so. And nobody has the right to take that away from them. We will defend their right to be human beings and to defend their lives and their children. And that is something we will stand up here and say boldly and loudly. Our religion, international law, common sense, your own culture, and every single fiber of humanity says, when your children are bombed, when your wives are killed, when you are expelled from your lands, you have every right to stand up and defend in any way possible. We will say this loudly and clearly. But that is not, we are not there. They are there. We make dua for them. We defend their rights. We are here. We will lobby as much as we can. We will raise public awareness. We will send aid as long as we're allowed to send aid. We're going to call the people that support these deeds war criminals. We will not vote for them and endorse them in office. We're going to make sure only the right people come and stand up to be our politicians. We do what we can in this land. But in this land, as people of this land, we too have treaties like the Prophet ﷺ had a treaty with the Quraysh. And a part of those treaties entails we will not get involved militarily. That's not what we can do at this time and place. Yet I say loudly and clearly, those people whom Allah has blessed and tested with power, those people who are in charge of political institutions and armies, what are they doing? It is their responsibility. And the moment they make it legal, and the moment they open the door, then we hope and we pray every single able-bodied person amongst us will take up that call. And I say this unequivocally and loudly without any shame and embarrassment. It is a duty on every single person of conscience to understand what is taking place as a genocide. How can we sit here and allow it to take place if the opportunities are created that will help us defend them? But until that is done by people who are responsible, because the average Muslim, the average human cannot pretend to be a government, cannot pretend to be a khalifa, cannot pretend to be an army. It's not my responsibility or yours to create that type of system. But when the people who are in charge allow that to happen, when the people whom Allah has blessed and tested with power, when they allow that mechanism, that changes the whole situation. And yes, we can and we should generically raise these realities to them and say to them, what is the purpose of having 50 Muslim countries and 50 armies? What is the purpose of having all of these resources if you see this tragedy happening and you do not even lift a finger to get involved to defend innocent women and children? That's our job, to speak to them. But it is not our job to snap our fingers and pretend we are a country, we are a power, we are a military. No, I cannot do this, you cannot do this. Allah did not give me that responsibility. And to do this opens the door for chaos and opens the door for... That's we learn from the seerah. The Prophet didn't open this door in Mecca. And even in Medina, he had to keep the treaties maintained, as we must do as well. The bottom line, O Muslims, we're living in very, very difficult times. And our iman is being tested. And our bravery is being tested. And we have to be brave within the confines of the law. I'm not asking anybody to go to jail. I'm not asking anybody to get into trouble. I'm not asking anybody to sacrifice their entire lives for something that is not going to be a benefit. But awkwardness and pushing the boundaries and raising these conversations, this needs to be done. And subhanAllah, some amongst us who really do extra and their livelihoods are gone or they have to go to jail, well, good for them, because history always teaches us that when you stand up for truth and you preach justice in a legal manner, I'm not saying anything illegal, but sometimes what is legal and illegal becomes a very gray area. And we see this from our own history. Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, the boxer, he went to jail because he didn't go and fight in Vietnam. Now we consider him to be a hero. But you know, when he refused to go fight, the world, America, called him a traitor. And Muhammad Ali said, why would I go kill innocent people? I'm not going to fight your dirty war for you. Now everybody looks at him as a hero. Malcolm X the same. Every single other leader the same. If we're asked to do something unethical and immoral, we cannot do that. But until they ask us to do something unethical and immoral, we will obey the law as much as we can. We're not going to do anything that is harmful, that is illegal, but we will speak the truth and we will push the boundaries and we will raise these uncomfortable realities. O Muslims, now is the time to strategize. Now is the time to mobilize. Now is the time to have a deep dive about what are we doing as an American Muslim community. I don't have all the answers, but I do know silence is not an option. Cowardice is not an option. I do know we need to stand up and do something, because wallahi, what we have seen, especially in this last week, words cannot even describe the barbarity. For how long will this continue? But we remind ourselves, ala inna nasrallahi qareeb, ala inna nasrallahi qareeb, ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our brothers and sisters in Gaza and to allow us to be of those who help them in whatever way possible. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu, Allahumma la ta'ala fi hal يومي ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا هما إلا فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا مريضا إلا شفيت ولا عسيرا إلا يسرت. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي وتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا.